Few things should excite us as much as the return of Jesus Christ. Here's Skip Heitzig.
We have always longed for the time when our Savior will come from heaven and make everything right once again on the earth. We love that. And I hope you're looking for it, because Paul says at the end of 2 Timothy that there is a crown awaiting all of those who are longing for his appearing. Are you longing for that? Do you perhaps get up in the morning and think, you know, this could be the day? It's great, especially around the beginning of school time. You think, I might not even make it to the test this year. The Lord could come back.
Make the connection.
Although research has revealed that there are a lot of complicated biological and environmental factors that trigger a bird's instinct to fly south for the winter, one of the main motivations is actually quite simple and easily observable. Birds know it's time to fly south when the days start getting shorter. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in the complicated theology of the end times that we forget to look for the very simple signs that signal this world's impending doom. And today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig will point out how we can tell that the days are growing short. But before we begin, your support of this ministry has a bigger impact than you know. In fact, it's because of the support of listeners like you that The Connection is heard in Mongolia, Africa, and the Caribbean. You can help even more people be blessed with solid Bible teaching when you support The Connection as a member of the Global Connectors. It's just $19 a month, but that makes a world of difference. Find out more at our website, connectionradio.org, or give us a call at 1-800-922-1888. You know, when it comes to studying the end times, there are a lot of big, fancy-sounding terms and complicated, intricate timetables that you can look at. Or you can just look at the simple instructions of Christ. And that's what we'll do in today's study.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
As you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, we'll begin today's study as Skip Heitzig shares a little background on the original Farmer's Almanac.
Back in the late 1700s, a guy by the name of Robert Thomas wrote a book called The Old Farmer's Almanac. Now, the publication that he started continues to this day. It's called The Farmer's Almanac. The original idea was to provide farmers with information they could get nowhere else, like weather predictions for the entire year in every region of America, helpful hints on what to plant, when to plant, early frost warnings, etc. And the Farmer's Almanac has some helpful hints. Some of it's good information, but not all of it. Some of it is sort of hyped and superstitious and dubious. But it does point out that people are looking for ways to predict the future by looking at the natural world. For instance, I heard of a farmer who, in reading the Farmer's Almanac, knew that the spring and summer in his region would be cloudier than normal. And this farmer was out plowing his field, but this same farmer had always wanted to be an evangelist. Never had the opportunity. Well, there he is one day on a cloudy day, and the clouds are parting, and he's leaning up against a tree, looking up into the sky, and he notices that the clouds seem to form letters. And the two letters that he saw were a big P and a big C. P-C. And he thought, that's it. It's my sign from heaven. God wants me to preach Christ. It's the dream I've always had. So he gets up, leaves the farm, becomes an evangelist. The only problem is he wasn't a very good preacher. And after one of his sermons, faltering and fumbling, somebody came up to him, his neighbor, and said, "Are you sure that God wasn't just trying to tell you to plant corn?" It is true that people will often read into very simple situations something more complex, something that isn't really there. And I feel that that even has happened in the verses we're about to read. Jesus was asked a question by his disciples. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus gives a very straightforward answer. And now an illustration of that answer. And because the illustration is one from nature, pointing to a fig tree and the branches that come out in the spring, I've called this message the End Times Farmer's Almanac. Jesus will take from nature an illustration to point about his second coming. Let's look at it in verse 32. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Christians have been looking for Jesus' second coming ever since he left the first time. Now, again, just as a quick reminder, we've already gone through this so far in our studies, but there is a difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming with the church 7 years later, I believe the Bible teaches that. But we have always longed for the time when our Savior will come from heaven and make everything right once again on the earth. We love that. And I hope you're looking for it, because Paul says at the end of 2 Timothy that there is a crown awaiting all of those who are longing for his appearing. Are you longing for that? Do you perhaps get up in the morning and think, you know, this could be the day? It's great, especially around the beginning of school time, you think, I might not even make it to the test this year. The Lord could come back. Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2 of Titus and said, "Live godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." So if you think about it, we Christians live with hindsight and foresight. We're looking back and we're looking forward. We look back to the cross. We look back to our redemption, the once for all finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf on the cross. But we look forward to the restoration, where there is a total do-over, a makeover on planet Earth, and Jesus Christ rules and reigns. Now, as we're looking forward, how do we live? What do we do? What should we know? What should we be aware of? And what should we trust? There's a pastor in Chicago. He was the pastor of Moody Bible Church. He was getting gas at a gas station, and he pulled up behind a car that had bumper stickers. Ever seen one of those cars that don't have a bumper sticker, but they've got like every one made? Just, you think, this person's confused. There's so many messages on there. Well, this guy thought, this guy must be confused, because there were two bumper stickers in particular next to each other that they didn't seem to jive, and the pastor suggested that the guy pull off one of them, because one bumper sticker said, "Jesus is coming," and the second one said, "Escape to Wisconsin." I don't think Wisconsin is where you want to be when Jesus comes back, at least the coming of the tribulation. Well, we're going to look then in nature this morning at these verses, verse by verse, and we're going to notice the parable and then the purpose of the parable. Look in verse 32. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near." You've probably noticed that Jesus loved to use illustrations a lot. He was a master storyteller. And a full one-third of Jesus' teaching in the Gospels are stories, parables. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13 alone, there are 8 of them. Illustrations are like windows in a building. They let the light in. They magnify things and let you see things much more clearly. And Jesus used a lot of them simply because, well, you know the old saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And in those days, you know, this was before television, before DVDs, before movies, before iPods. The disciples weren't running around with iPods, video iPods. So people back then saw with their ears and depended on somebody who is a master storyteller to let them see things as they would paint the picture in their mind's eye. And Jesus was a master at that. Somebody once said, the mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the better teacher demonstrates, but the master teacher inspires. No wonder so many people were inspired and motivated by the Son of God's teaching in the way he taught. And you'll notice the word here, parable. You find it very often used in the New Testament. Parable comes from the Greek word that sounds very similar to it, parabole. And parabole literally means to cast something next to or place something alongside of something else. And here's the idea. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly truth. You take something earthly as an analogy and place it next to a heavenly truth, and since we live in the earthly realm and we're going to understand the earthly principle, it helps us understand the heavenly truth. So something is cast next to something else, and when it is, we go, oh, I get it now. And Jesus did this so often, and the parables and illustrations were so simple, they stuck in the heart. People would listen to him and remember them. He wasn't complicated. You never read something like this. Jesus said unto them, I'd like to submit to you the soteriological ramifications of men's faith in God. But rather, he would say, hey, check out the birds in the sky. They don't worry. And your heavenly Father feeds them. You're of much more value than any of those birds. And people heard those simple stories and go, I get it. It's understandable. Well, he uses one here about a fig tree. And so we ask the question, what did Jesus mean in using the illustration of the fig tree? And here's why I bring this up. Because there's an awful lot of literature spent on the meaning of the fig tree, and I think people have made something very simple into something very complicated. There's a whole lot of explanations as to what Jesus meant with the fig tree. One is that Jesus was referring to the nation of Israel, and that what Jesus meant by this fig tree illustration is that when you see the fig tree, i.e. Israel, blossom, in other words, become a nation, which happened in 1948, we know that from history, that is the sign. However, if Jesus meant that by this, that would have been obscure to the disciples. You see, they ask him a simple question, and Jesus has been very simple and straightforward up to this point. If Jesus was trying to make them understand and fully grasp and clear up any confusion, if he meant that, he didn't do a very good job, because that would obscure it in the minds of the disciples, not clear it up. And by the way, up till now, when Jesus wanted to refer to Israel, he said it. Back in verse 16, he mentioned Jerusalem and stated Judea very plainly. So Jesus could have simply said, hey, let me tell you guys about what's going to happen to the nation of Israel in the future. Oh, and there's something else. The parallel of Matthew 24 is Luke chapter 21. It's the same exact account. But you probably know that there are 3 synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptics because they're very similar in their approach. Gospel of John is different. The 3 synoptic gospels that cover the same basic stuff and approach you'll find the writer will include something that the other writer doesn't because it's fitting that author's purpose for writing the book. So one will include that this happened and one will exclude it but say something else happened. It's not a contradiction, it's a compliment. You put them all together, you get the full picture. Well, Luke's rendition of what we're reading, Jesus pointed to the fig tree and said, "Look at the fig tree and all the trees." Not just the fig tree. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. So if the fig tree refers to Israel and the blossoming fig tree refers to its statehood, well, then does Jesus mean Israel's going to become a nation and all the other nations are going to become nations too? See, it doesn't seem to fit. Second explanation, that Jesus was referring to spiritual revival in Israel. The blossoming of the fig tree was Israel, once they're back in the land, 1948, there's going to be a spiritual messianic revival, a blossoming spiritually, as it were, which is wonderful, and we have seen some signs of openness in that area to Christ, but by and large, Israel to this day is still a very secular state and secularly driven. But just look at what we read so far. Notice that Jesus does not say, interpret what the fig tree means. He simply says, learn a lesson from it. That's all. He didn't say, now you go to your theological libraries and try to figure out every little meaning of every... He just said, look at it, take a lesson from it. So I think there's a simple, straightforward meaning here. Here it is. You can tell what's coming ahead by what you see right now. Certain things you can see, like this fig tree and all these other trees, by certain signals that they produce, you can tell what time it is in the general prophetic time calendar. You know summer is coming every time it's spring. I love the summer. I love when the days get longer. I love that you can spend more time outside. I love barbecuing, all of the things summer represents. Somebody once said, summer is when the kids slam all the doors they left open all winter long. But I love the summer. And I think simply what Jesus is saying is after a time of tribulation, this dark winter of tribulation, there's going to come a summer of blessing. And during the springtime, you know that the summer is just about there. So look at the next verse. He explains, he gives the purpose. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Did you get that? Just like the fig tree tells you summer is coming, when you see these things, it is near, even at the doors. In other words, there are time indicators in the natural world as there are time indicators in the supernatural world. Okay. Did you know that some people get hung up on the it of that verse? You know that it is near. Some translations say you know that he is near. And I've read this week volumes of literature of, well, it could be it, that means the second coming of Jesus Christ, but then it could mean he, that is Jesus Christ himself. Can I just tell you, it doesn't matter. If it is the second coming, and he is the one that is coming, then it and he coming are the same thing. Doesn't matter. Who cares? The point is simple. You can look in the natural world and you can tell summer is coming by looking at the fig trees and all the other trees, and you can tell by certain other things that I am coming very, very shortly. Now, we've been going through Matthew 24 for about 12 weeks, and we've gone sometimes very slowly, and we've uncovered these signs that Jesus predicts. And we've noticed that principally we're dealing with a period called the tribulation period. These are tribulation signs. These are things that are going to happen after the rapture during a 7-year time period, and especially in the last 3.5 years, just before the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. However, even today we are seeing the world line up and certain of these signs just starting already so that we can say, you know what? I know the rapture hasn't happened yet, And I know we're not in the tribulation period yet, but already by just looking at the landscape in this world, things are shaping up. We're getting a little more excited. And in Luke chapter 21, Jesus said to his disciples, "When these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near." We also notice back in verse 8 that Jesus gave a series of signs. And then he said, "These are the beginning of sorrows." And we mentioned that the word sorrows is the word birth pains, literally, birth pains. And if you remember, we said that, of course, you don't have to say it if you're a woman who's had a baby, you already know. Whenever you have a pain, it doesn't mean a baby's coming. Birth pains are different than abdominal pains. Birth pains are more frequent and more intense. They're timed and they're intense. And when the birth pains come, you know the birth is about there. If you ever travel to South Dakota, there's an odd little town situated there known as Wall, South Dakota. It's only got about 200 or 300 people living in Wall, South Dakota. But there is a drugstore in Wall, South Dakota, given the innovative name Wall Drug. Wall Drug. Back in the 30s, Ted Husted, who started the store, knew that he had a small town, knew that he wouldn't get much traffic, but thought, "How can I get people here?" His answer? Signs. "I'll put signs everywhere. Everyone will know about my store." It's true. In all 50 states, there are signs that tell you the distance from that place to Wall Drug, South Dakota. For instance, if you're driving through Memphis, Tennessee, you will read this sign: Wall Drug, 1,192 miles. If you're in Paris, France, there is a sign: Wall Drug, 5,961 miles. And if you happen to ever get to the South Pole, yes, there's a sign there that says Wall Drug, 9,333 miles.
There's a lot going on in today's world that could be attributed to birth pains, tsunamis, earthquakes, fires, typhoons, all of which seem to be growing in frequency and intensity. It may be time to start paying attention to what's happening in our world, and it's certainly time to start telling our neighbors what their future holds. Take the opportunity to do that today, because you never know what tomorrow might bring. Well, we're all out of time for today, but before I tell you how you can order a copy of today's teaching, here's how you can get a new book by Skip Heitzig that I think you'll find very interesting.
Our nation is constantly on guard to preserve democracy and freedom, but we also need to pay attention to the safety and well-being of our souls. In his newest book, Homeland Security, Skip Heitzig examines the spiritual threats that all believers face, from the personal and family levels up through the global level. Find out what God's Word says about these threats and how we can best follow God's plan for victory. Order Homeland Security for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The price of security is constant vigilance, and that's just as true spiritually as it is nationally. What threats in today's unpredictable world are we facing, not only as a nation, but also as the church? Find out in Skip Heitzig's latest book, Homeland Security.
Yes, our homeland is under attack, but our homes are under attack. Your family is under attack. Churches in this country are under attack. And your souls are also under attack. It was Paul the Apostle who gave us the battle briefing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He writes, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world."
Order your copy for just $10 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or online at connectionradio.org.
And I also wanted to remind you that to get a copy of today's teaching, just call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, so contact us today at 1-800-922-1888 or you can write us at The Connection, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And as always, we look forward to hearing from you, and we appreciate your support of this ministry.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
We'll continue to examine what sort of signs we should be looking for to indicate just how much time this world has left on our next broadcast. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.